Welcome back. It is the fifth official episode of Fourth Year. I'm so excited to be back. It's been a long time. It's been like over a month. So I'm excited to be back. I'm back with new podcasting equipment that I got for Christmas, which is amazing. And I don't have to deal with all the technicalities here at the recording studio. So it's great, and I'm excited, and I have a lot to say, hopefully. Fair warning, unrelated, but I am losing a battle to my allergies as of recently, so it's making me sound a little stuffed up and stuff. And also, yeah, I have all that gross stuff going on. So apologies if it's like affecting the way I usually sound. But anyways, for this episode, as usual, I do want to talk about something that's been on my mind a lot recently, which is, one, intentions, which I feel like, so, like, yeah, everybody talks about intentions, but I've been just thinking about it a lot recently, especially, I don't know, you know, the new year. I mean, it's almost February, but, you know, just the new year, and also, not the new year, just other stuff, and also about emotional intelligence, which I feel like has been really relevant for me recently, and I want to dive into it because it's cool and it's complex, and personally I feel like I have a lot of it, considering not, like, it's interesting considering that I haven't had too much life experience to have developed it. I just innately have it, and I kind of want to dissect that and talk about my personal experience and see what the vibe is. But yeah, that's the plan, but we know we always go off plan with whatever the hell I talk about. So, yeah, I mean, intentions, I feel like, are pretty well known, you know, and they're more important than we think. Like, intentions are the guide for practically everything, you know. Other people want to know what your intentions are. You want to know what your intentions are. It's how you make your goals and how you portray yourself and so many things, you know. And I'm a firm believer in, like, long-term intentions, like intentions you set for yourself and you've hoped for such a long time. And I'm wondering if it's just like a long-term goal that you're waiting to pursue, or it's just an ongoing thing. I guess it depends on what that intention is, if it's attainable in a short time or not, but I don't know. When you see things for yourself and you really put yourself in the space to fulfill that intention, I feel like that's the first part. Like, you know, you can't be like, I really want to find someone that, you know, is loving and attentive and caring and romantic and wholesome, and then you're not working to reflect that yourself, you know, or you're just like in a place where you're just like, I don't know, you're cheating on your partner and like you're living in chaos and you're surrounding yourself with bad people and you feel icky yourself, just like how you treat yourself or others, you know. So you have to put yourself in the place first of, okay, this is what I want. So you have to put out, like, what you reflect is what you want to receive, right? So, like, for me, like, that's usually, like, what I want. Like, I usually, my intentions align with kind of how I already am going in life. I mean, but that's lucky. Like, you can have intentions that are different, you know? I want to change something really big or something like that. So it's all relative or whatever. But I don't know, it's not something to feel too much pressure on. Like, sometimes a lot of people tell me, like, you have to have these intentions and you have to stick with them, you have to think about them all the time and write about them and manifest and, you know, surround yourself, like, kind of a little bit of what I was saying, but it's like a lot more pressure, you know, and it's like, oh my god, I have to stick with it, think about it all the time, what? But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that you can totally have intentions and it being in the back of your mind all the time, and you're just surrounding yourself, you're putting yourself in the space that would host something that would give you what you want. And with time, with due time, it'll come. I think even if you go through something that you thought was it and then it's not and it's painful, like, it's hard to see, to keep going. You're just like, what? Like, I spent so much energy, like, you know, trying to get what I wanted, and what the heck happened, you know? But if you keep true to your intention, and, I mean, grapple with yourself, you know, like, do what you need to do to be mentally okay and calm, you know? And everybody has their own coping mechanisms and stuff. But also, I don't know, I feel like intentions, they can't go away that fast. Even if they're fulfilled, like, you need to keep them there, you know? And that is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stay true to my intentions. And honestly, intentions can, like, be not just focused on what they specifically are for, but also, like, you just feel the vibe yourself. I know I'm, like, being so broad, because I'm, like, trying to think. I mean, okay, let's just take, like, my career, for example. My intention is to stay in the career that I'm pursuing, which is biology, and working in a lab and whatnot. And I've had this intention since middle school. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I know I wanted to be in science and, you know, maybe be in a lab and explore. Like, that was my intention, very, very broad. And as I got older, I was able to make it happen and also narrow it down. So it's like, it's the same intention, it's just transformed. So consider transforming intentions. But they're still the same, but just either more specific or a little bit geared towards a different area. You know, intentions are like, I don't know, they're just like your friend in your mind. They're just like, you know, they're the voices that talk to your brain. I don't know, like, how to describe it. Like, they should be familiar with you and you familiar with them. And, you know, it's a relationship you have with intentions. So my, like, biological intention has shifted throughout the years, and guess what? I am actively pursuing that intention now, and it doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean that intention's gonna go away, because I still have to keep living life and my career and everything like that. So it's still going, but it might change a little bit in the future. You know, I surround myself with other people and different environments, and I'm like, well, it's still the biological intention and the science and the exploration, but it's a little bit different, you know? So maybe when you form intentions, they're a little bit more broader than you think, you know? It can also, like, be like that for, like, a romantic relationship. Like, you just want, you set up really broad standards of what you want to experience in a relationship, and then as you are getting experience, or, you know, getting to know someone or whatever, those intentions become more specific. So yeah, and then maybe, I don't know, that doesn't work out for you and you're back out and it goes, but, you know, it's very like clay, you know, you just have to mold it to how you want it. And I think that is that is totally part of how you just keep remembering it and the consistency and everything about it, because, you know, you're still sticking with it, even though you're not directly thinking about it sometimes. It's like, it's there in the back of your mind. But I think also, in order to deal with intentions, acknowledge them, form them, change them, you have to have a sense of emotional intelligence, which is something I also want to talk about. Good job, Maya, for the segue. You know, I think if you don't have some sort of emotional intelligence, you will stay stuck and be lost, you know, and also just, like, maybe always question why, you know. You can still be emotionally intelligent and question why, but in terms of maybe yourself and that self-analyzation and living and learning, you know. I'm not even gonna pretend. I'm extremely emotionally intelligent, and on top of that, even more self-aware. Oh my god, am I so self-aware. Like, it's like I can't even deliberately say, like, an example, but constantly analyzing myself, constantly fixing, you know, healing, dissecting anything about myself, you know. And I think that is a big part of my resilience, you know. And I don't want to talk about myself and also have others think that, like, they should be like this. It's just genuinely how I function and what has come to be throughout the years of my life. And I don't know, maybe it could be beneficial and or resonating or something to anybody. But it also has its cons, you know, like the overthinking, again, a common theme of this podcast, because the host overthinks an incredible amount all the time. So it's only natural. But I think also this emotional intelligence has really helped me, like, consider all angles of situations and also just, like, have empathy, you know, for people, as well as, like, being able to come to conclusions that might not have happened yet, but maybe they will. And that's a sense of, like, you know, protection for myself, and also just, like, yeah, you can see what happens. And look, a lot of the times, not to toot my own horn, but, like, they're pretty correct. Like, I don't know. It's just, when you consider all the possibilities, the more you have time to marinate in a situation, the more you can think about it, the more you're like, this makes sense. Oh, that makes sense. That happened. Oh my god, that makes sense. You know, you're formulating, and then by the time, I mean, unfortunately, sometimes the timing is off, and it's like you come to that conclusion right before it happens, and you're just like, oh, well, I saw that coming. But, you know, at least you saw it coming, kind of. maybe it's not exactly what you thought, but, I think, you know, in terms of the empathy, it helps, because sometimes, I don't know, like, for example, if you're angry at someone, or you're just like, what the heck, like, why, you know, you come back, you ground yourself, and you're like, okay, you know what, as it's seen, and I'm not saying, like, blind yourself with the perspective of this other person you're thinking about or whatever, just consider it, and maybe, you know, you can be wrong. The other person can be, like, totally not thinking what you're thinking, and then you're giving them too much credit, and then you're just like, what? But, yeah, it's, whatchamacallit, it's just, you can't know everything, which is something I wish I can tell myself a little bit more, because with the emotional intelligence comes a sense of, oh, I know everything. Not everything, but, like, not everything. Just, like, a lot. And sometimes I wish I was bulletproof, like, just so I can, like, think things and not experience the result, you know. But no one's bulletproof, honestly. And you know what I've come to learn recently is that, like, you know, because when I was younger, I used to consider myself like a stone. Like, I didn't cry, and I was able to recover from things very quickly, and, you know, I was the rock, and I would make people happy, and, you know, when sad times would come, I would be very, like, shut it down and try to move on. And then I would look back on that being older, and then I would think, well, I was numb. I was not feeling feelings, like, what, you know? But the reality is, guys, you're not numb, you're not non-feeling, you are feeling those feelings, they're just somewhere else. They're just being blocked off, walled up, and secluded so that you can be resilient. And that's the classic thing that people are like, you know, your feelings always come to get you. Yeah, your feelings do come to get you to bite you in the ass later if you don't deal with them. It is very true. And that's just life. You know, this is so kind of separate, but do you ever, like, have a mental image of, like, how you think your brain or your mindscape looks? Maybe not your mindscape, like, your subconscious, but, like, how your brain is, like, in the middle, or I guess it, maybe this is just my mindscape, but, like, I see my brain, right? It's, like, in the middle. It's all pink and wrinkly, right? And then there's, like, the main mindscape, which is, like, beautiful and fun and positive. And, like, kind of neutral, though, actually, because I'm not, like, always happy-go-lucky. But then there's, like, an office, which, like, all these files. Okay, you know what? This can be influence of SpongeBob, honestly. Probably. Because there's a scene in SpongeBob when, like, he's freaking out. And then, like, all the mini SpongeBobs are running around the office. And they're freaking out with the papers and the fire. And they're like, I don't know what to do. Like, bruh. That's, like, how I feel sometimes. Like, honestly. Like, there's a little mini office. There's not mini Mayas, but, like, there's just, like, little floatingness and, like, little people. Or maybe not people, I don't know. Little beings, little floaty things, like, carrying the papers and doing this, and, you know. So it's very complicated. Like, nothing, my brain is just chaos. Chaos, but organized chaos. Oh my god. Like, if I was a phrase, if my subconscious was labeled, if my brain was studied, if my anything was studied about myself and it needed a title, it would be organized chaos. Like, honestly. That even applies to, like, something as little as my work ethic for school. I procrastinate, but I get things done always on time. So it's chaotic, but it's organized because I'm doing it and I'm succeeding and, you know. So, yeah, it's just how it is. Going back to, sorry, I just only went on a tangent there. But the emotional intelligence is something that I take a lot of pride in. It makes me feel prepared for the world. It makes me feel capable of having, you know, deep relationships, good friendships, life context. You know, I can't take on the world. There are some things that I cannot process, and I choose to be a listener and internalize, you know, multiple things. But I also, and sometimes, oh my god, like, this, also this part of me is, like, thinking, like, oh my god, like, you're scary. Like, you have such emotional intelligence, and it's, like, like, it's crazy is that, like, I'm an overthinker, and I'm low-key an overthinker's nightmare, because even if I see someone, like, just sitting next to me, sitting in front of me, blah, blah, I analyze them to filth, like, not in a bad way, but it's, like, I analyze everything, the way they're moving, where their eyes are, their facial expressions, how they're writing, if they're sweating, you know, everything. I'm just, like, you know, and it's not, like, intense, like, it's just things that are going on, like, little calculations in the back of my mind, but if something were to happen, I would use those things that I just observed to apply them to, like, if that person talked to me, and they were, like, hey, like, did we have homework today, or something like that, or, like, they said something that confused me, and then I think back at the interaction, I'm, like, that was weird. I then take the things that I analyze, and I'm like, oh, and I justify things, like, if I thought they were weird, I'm like, oh, they were probably nervous, or blah, blah, blah. I feel like a lot of people do that, too, though, yeah, it's just, like, but then again, it turns into, like, I know people are analyzing me, too, so then I'm always, like, making sure the details and how I present myself and everything is, like, up for observation, which, in society, it's not that serious. No one is looking at you as much as you hope, but sometimes in my case, I am looking at you as much as you think I am looking at you. So that's why sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm scary. But I also have like the most resting or the most serious resting face like ever. And it's sometimes I think that's scary because I keep to myself and I mind my own business and you know what I mean? So yeah, it's just a little intimidating. And then, oh yeah, once I might get to know someone, it can work to my benefit because I can really like help them specifically with how I recognize how they are. And also, it also, I mean, it's a like a win-lose kind of thing because it's like I can help that person I'm talking to because I know them well and I've analyzed them, but also sometimes I internalize some of those things and I'm like getting too nervous to be vulnerable or talk or stuff like that, and I overthink and you know what I mean, so it's just only natural. But yeah, it's a part of life. It's that process is complicated. See, like, I'm saying these things, I'm talking so much about my like mind and my subconscious that I'm like losing myself. Like, I'm like, this is so deep. But we can like veer towards something a little bit less freaking meta because I am like psyching myself out. I'm like, what do I know about myself? But yeah, I think as I'm going through life, it's like very interesting because the way, okay, also, I don't know if I've talked about this before, maybe a little bit, but if I'm, this is a coping mechanism that I have found that always works for me and I forget that it works for me and then I just need to come back to it and be like, oh yeah. But if you're feeling like in a slump and you're just like, who am I? Why am I acting like this? How can I feel better? You're just like, what's going on? Something that works for me is I go back and I watch videos of myself, like little vlogs or that I just make for myself, me recording myself doing something, stuff like that. I'm just talking to myself. If you by this point think it's weird to talk to yourself, goodbye. I'm sorry. There is no one thinks it's weird. And if you do, you're weird because what the hell? So get over it. Now, the way I talk to myself is a little different, I think, I realize, than other people. I realize people talk to themselves, like how it is. Like they were like, oh, like, okay, like, I gotta do this, blah, 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 blah. You're talking to yourself. I do something a little bit more interesting, and when I talk to myself, in quotes, I talk as if I'm talking to someone else and as if things already happened. It's really stupid. I'm being so vulnerable right now, but when I talk to myself, like if something just happened, let's just say I had an argument like a second ago and I come to myself and I'm talking and I'll be like, yeah, like she totally just yelled at me and like I don't even know what happened, and like, and then she did this thing where like she like rolled her eyes and I was like, so like I recount things as if I'm telling someone. Now look, can I psychoanalyze that and think, well, it's a lack of connection and you're isolating yourself and you have no one to talk to, so you just choose to talk to an imaginary person, sounding a little schizophrenic. Look, it's possible I can go down that path, but I won't. Okay, that's just how I talk to myself. Because I'm talking to myself as if I made a clone of myself and I'm talking to it because I'm so cool. I'm the best person to talk to. And that's just how it is for me. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah. The recording myself and looking, it always cures me. It always makes me feel better. Like, I don't know what it is, but it makes me feel like it brings me back to like myself, and it makes me happy. Like, I don't know. It can also be like you interacting with other people, or you know, just reminisce, honestly. Like, you can reminisce and it be really nice, you know. I think for me personally, I like to look at my, like, me just talking and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so funny, I'm so witty, I'm so with it, like who would not want to interact with me? Which, look, yes, I'm self-conscious about my interactions with people, and then sometimes I come off cold and very introverted, and I'm like, frick, why did I mess that up? Like, now they think I'm mean or something, you know? It's just, unfortunately, if you're one of those people that is cold on the outside, but then, like, once someone gets to know you, once they crack you open, it's like you're so, like, extroverted and really comfortable. That's, if you're that type of person, that's just the struggles you have to deal with. Like those little interactions you have with people, and you're just like, damn, that was bad. And then you're like, I wish I could, but I couldn't even if I wanted to, you know, that type of thing. You just, that's why you, I know, like, those type of people have, like, very limited friends, like a close circle and close friends, because, like, you're not extroverted. You're not just like, you know, it's hard to, like, upkeep that type of thing when you're, like, an introvert, and or, like, when you're not wanting to share a lot about yourself, like, straight up to people, which is, like, valid, you know. And I'm like that, and I have a small circle of friends, and once someone gets to know me and they learn about me, I, you know, I hold on to that. I'm like, they know so much about me. But you know, that's just how life is. You gotta put yourself out there. And it's okay. It's okay if, you know, you're thinking, you're overthinking about, like, oh, like, I can't believe I told them that, and now we don't talk as much anymore. You know, it's just like friends come and go. People come and go. So, and the ones that stick, they stick, and it's great. So, yeah. I recommend watching videos of yourself, and just, like, be like, yeah, like, you are the shit. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just great. And that's what I do for myself, and that's what helps. And yeah, just also, I mean, I feel like the first step of being emotionally intelligent is dissecting it for yourself, dissecting how you feel, identifying, analyzing, and just thinking. You know, sometimes it can be really intimidating when you go into it and you're just like, what? Okay, what about me? What, you know? But it can be as simple as, like, saying, okay, like, hypothetical situations. What would I do if right now someone walked past me on the street and spit in my face and yelled at me, and they're staring at me and they're waiting for me to say something, right? Like, what would you do in that scenario? Well, for me, I'd be like, what the hell? Like, can I help you? Like, what was that? And then the, what if they just, like, yell back? And then I'm just like, okay, well, I'm gonna, I don't know. And I would try to, like, walk away, right? Okay, that's my reaction. So then I can dissect that and be like, okay, well, I choose to invest myself only a little bit, but once I, like, see that the interaction is still going, I choose to avoid it and walk away. And that's just me being like, okay, I'm not confrontational and I stand up for myself, but I'm not, you know, and I'm not a pushover, but I don't want to, you know, have things escalate and then me be more stressed. So already, boom, you can figure out, like, you're non-confrontational. Maybe you figure out you are not apt for fighting. I don't know, but those things can tell you something, you know. Or you can pose another scenario where it's like, okay, what would I do if I knew, if I was in a relationship with this person and only for, like, 3 months, but it's been really great, and, you know, it's just going great, and but nothing too crazy, and he proposes, and he's just not on one knee, and he's like, will you marry me? And okay, what would one do in that situation? One being me. What would I do? Well, I'd be like, wow, that is incredible. You want to marry me? And then he'd be like, yes, I want to marry you. And then I'd gently grab his wrist and motion him to stand up. And then I would say, we've only known each other for 3 months, and I feel like we have a lot to go. And then you can be like, I mean, and then I would be like, I think we just need a little bit more time to get used to each other and to pass some other, or go through some other milestones, in order for us to be married. And I'm not saying that I don't want to marry you, period. I'm just saying I don't want to marry you now. And that would be for his reaction. So, see, I am one to not succumb to my situation. I'm not going to just say yes, even though I feel bad. Or and so he doesn't feel bad. But I'm not completely put off by the fact that he proposed and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you do that. I'm breaking up with you. I choose to keep pursuing the relationship, although not at his pace, but you know, it like we can keep it going. So I don't know. I'm seeing these scenarios and I'm like, okay, what is that saying about myself? Well, take what you will, but I feel like it just says those type of things you test yourself and you see. And then you can kind of categorize like what kind of person you are. And based off of that, you can use those things that you know about yourself to either be empathetic to other people, to wow, the gears are really turning in my head right now. To be empathetic to other people, to in terms of like understanding them, reading their body language, reflecting on what they say, stuff like that. You can also use it to make future plans or predict how you're going to react to things in the future based off of hypothetical situations. And you can just, I mean, another huge part of it, of emotional intelligence, is gaining life experience, god damn it. Like, just watching other people in movies, in real life, in shows, in your family, stuff like that, like, you know, you're gaining life context. You're seeing how other people react to stuff. You're saying, I like how they reacted to that. I didn't like how they reacted to that. Oh, I've never seen that type of reaction before. I didn't know that was an option. And then you take it for yourself and you're like, maybe I'll apply that. You know, like, it's very, you know, you also have to be a sponge. And that's how you gain. And so I feel like for me, how I have gained so much emotional intelligence. Let's see. I have had very challenging life experiences in the past, especially with grief. And that's given me a lot of emotional intelligence in terms of processing those types of feelings like loss and sorrow and sadness and depression and anger, you know, the five stages of the grief, and also just like being empathetic for other people. You know, romantically, maybe not the most, but I do have a lot to, you know, a lot in my artillery of context, of life context, to apply in terms of that. Like, based off of what I've heard from other families and their romantic escapades, and, you know, sure, movies and music. Oh, music. That too is a big one. You know, and it's like, truly, like sometimes you can't experience or you can't predict what an emotion would feel like until you experience it genuinely. And sometimes I feel like I can predict how I'm gonna act or how I'm gonna feel, like genuinely, because I know myself so well. I have full confidence that I know how I'm gonna feel. But it doesn't mean anything until you really experience it and then you know if you were right or not, you know? But I think also a lot of the emotional intelligence comes from listening to people when they give you advice. Because people, I know it's like, especially for me, I hear advice, I'm like, I always just assume I've heard it before. Especially, I mean, I feel like what influences it a lot is that my mom is incredibly emotionally intelligent and she has lived a life full of experiences and ups and downs and learning lessons, and she constantly tells me these things, so like to help me. And before I was like, okay, like, you know, it's hard to accept that advice when you're not like going through anything. You're just like, okay, why are you telling me this? Like, but she's like, you know, I know you're gonna want to hear it and know it for later. And I was like, okay, but now it's like if I am going through something that I'm like, oh, this is heavy, like, well, I immediately think of her. Like, I think, I'm like, how can she help me, you know? So it comes back to get you, even if it's like doesn't apply, or that person is like, okay, like, you're like, please, not right now. But listening and taking advice, you remember it, and you, even if you don't really realize it, you internalize it, and you think, that works for me, that resonates with me, or that does not resonate with me. And even if, like, you can learn from the things that don't resonate with you, because what if it resonated for the person, the other person in the situation that you're going through? Just, like, if there's another person, you know? Like, and then you can be like, oh, well, that advice that I heard that did not resonate with me might resonate with them. And based off of what that advice is, I can see how they would take comfort in it, or maybe not take comfort in it because no one's told them that. So it's a thought game. And you know, I struggle sometimes with, I feel like I've talked about this before, but because I feel like I'm, you know, can handle a lot of life scenarios and stuff like that, I feel the need to, like, give unsolicited advice to people when they talk about a problem to me, which I really hope is not annoying, but I know it sometimes can be. And sometimes people just need a listening ear, which I can do too, but sometimes I get a little too excited. But I, well, where was I going with that? God damn it. Oh, I noticed that when I give people unsolicited advice and I'm sharing my thoughts, I always, the second biggest thought in the back of my mind, besides what I'm saying, is I hope they're listening. I hope they're going to think about this later too, because I would. But some people, like, I don't know if, because you never ask, you know, like, did you think about that later? Do you remember what I said? Like, you don't, because that's like a little, unless it's serious, but you don't really, because it's like, okay, like, why, like, what? That's their business. But, like, I always hope I'm being appreciated and, like, what I'm saying is really coming across. And you can't really gauge if people are really there or not. Like, you can't really know if someone is really absorbing what you're thinking, because they can be also going through their own thoughts too and thinking, like, their own things. And it's just like, I don't know, sometimes you just have to, like, say things and hope it's getting across, or hope you're helping them and stuff. But, like, you can't always just, you know, think that what you're saying is getting through to the person, because they really have to be receptive to it. That's, like, the thing. They really have to be receptive to it. And they can be receptive, like, right there in the moment, and also, like, later, you know, like, they can remember what you said and then reflect on it later and be like, whoa, that was profound, or something like that. But I think that's something that I struggle with, because I just always want to be appreciated, and that's why I keep my mouth shut a lot, because I'd rather not talk than go through the frustration of me talking and no one listening to me. Like, I think one of my pet peeves is, like, when I'm talking and no one's listening, or, like, I'm talking to someone specifically and they're not listening to me, and they just, like, I'm like, hello, like, do I even matter? Do I exist? Like, what's going on? And I don't like that at all, you know? So I just prefer to be quiet. And it hurts, man, it hurts, like, when you talk and, you know, and so that's why, like, I try my very best to, like, if someone's talking, I look at them. I put my phone down and I look at them. Because it's like, they're talking to me for a reason. They want to feel heard. That's what people talk for. And it's just, yeah, it's just, yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't like when people, like, I'm talking and they change the subject. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I generally could crash out, like, in that moment. Like, when someone, like, I will just get up. Like, my first, like, gut feeling is just to get up and walk away. I'm like, would it even matter if I was here right now? You know, and so with that, I've, you know, gone, I've been involved with, and now it's gone with people, like friends, you know. I'm just like, I feel like you're not listening to me. And I could be an AI bot right now and you would not care. So that, if that's something that maybe you are suspecting applies to you, I definitely give it another thought and maybe take some action if you feel that someone you're friends with or something is like not listening to you. But yeah, it's a little different, I guess, depending on friends or family or a romantic relationship, but it's definitely something to consider because you owe it to yourself to have good, strong relationships. And that's how they last, you know? So yeah, that was just, I don't know what the hell I was trying to get at was, because my mind goes at a million miles a second, genuinely. But yeah, like, now I'm drawing a blank. See, that's what happens, like, when I'm here and I talk to myself. Like, I've had a lot to say for the pod, but now I'm like, what? Because, I don't know, it's just wild. Life is wild. But at the same time, it's calm. It genuinely is. Like, you have to ground yourself. Because, I don't know, like, sometimes I feel like I'm just like, oh, it's so, like, okay, because I listen to a lot of Radiohead, right? And it gets to me. I'm just like, wow, these feelings are deep, and wow, I'm gonna marinate in how I feel right now. And you know, it's just like, yes. But then sometimes you just have to, like, you get feelings, it's like little something washes over you and you're just like, you know, life, that's just life. And it's just like in a more wholesome way, you're just like, that's just life. And I'm going through it, and I'm a liver and I'm a grower, and life goes on, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but life goes on, and it's sunny and it's bright. Or it's romantically rainy sometimes for me. I like, but when you're, I think majority of the time, things can be, like, somber and cloudy and, like, eh, and you're just like, oh my god, it's the same thing all the time, and I'm just tiring myself out, and my emotions, I'm not feeling intense ones, and, you know, I want to make a change in my life or travel or something like that. I want to be unknown on social media, I don't know, whatever the heck it is. And it just, everything seems like a drag, and you're just like, oh my god, like, what if I just, like, rolled off a cliff right now? And that's okay, genuinely, it's okay. But I think sometimes it's nice to even just consider that this is just a part of the process, and if you choose to do something about it, then you choose to do something about it. If it takes time for you to make a change, that's okay too. You know, like, if, like, for example, okay, like, for me, like, life right now, I'm like, okay, a lot is about to happen this year. I'm gonna graduate, I'm gonna find a job, I'm gonna save up to move out of my house, etc., etc. Lots of growth happening. But I'm like, this is boring right now. Getting through my classes is boring. And I feel like I should be taking advantage of things, and I'm not, and I hate myself for not being motivated, blah, 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 right? And then a thought comes to my mind, oh my god, what if I went on a vacation by myself? What if I went on a vacation with a friend and just lived and loved and laughed, you know? And I'm like, I want to do that so bad. Now, it can be frustrating to have to be like, well, I'm going to put that on hold because I can't right now. Like, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, you know, and the ability. But I want to, oh, this is going to be so full circle, but I want to do it in the future, I want to do it for myself, so I'm gonna, guess what, make an intention for it, and then it'll be in the back of your mind, even though it's not the right time, I want to be, you know, you're think, I want to travel soon, and I want to experience this, and I want to have fun and let go. And this is applying to me. Like, I do want to travel and go on a vacation and have fun. And, you know, sometimes it sucks because it's like, oh, the vacation is just temporary. Then you have to come back to your life. But you'll gain, like, more perspective. You'll have a breath of fresh air. You'll, you know, like, have that experience and feel, you know, there was another little new memory you just got in your life and more context, and you grew. Even if, like, you just chilled and, you know, whatever you did on your vacation, that's great. You just feel like, oh, okay. And then you come back and you're like, well, that was fun. You did grow, regardless. And it's just, you're doing stuff for yourself that makes you feel good and makes you feel happy. And I don't know, sometimes, like, it goes back to what I've mentioned before, when, like, sometimes you just have to, like, fake romanticize it for yourself, and then it becomes real. Like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it gets you out of, like, a slump that you may be feeling. And you know what's insane is that some people feel the very quite opposite, where that they are on the go, they don't even have time to think, and they're just like, when is this gonna end? I need to relax. And that is another, you know, lifestyle that I am not familiar with. I always protect my peace, and I make sure that I'm relaxing when I can, and thinking and marinating and journaling and self-reflecting. And it's a lot of work, goddamn it, it is. Because it's like, okay, can my brain just turn off? But in the long run, it's pretty beneficial, and it's like, helps me at least feel very comfortable in my shoes and be comfortable with the person I am and be confident and be able to fix my problems and be my own support system. So that if the time is right, if you need to, then welcome a new person in your life, a new pet, a new, I don't know, something, a new job. You are sure of yourself and you're stable and you can be like, okay, I am ready for this. And even if, like, you don't feel, like, too ready in the moment and it's, like, a little scary and intimidating, that's something that you already acknowledge you're feeling yourself, you know? And if the need comes, you're able to take the coping mechanisms that you like and apply them. So that is all to say that maybe intentions and emotional intelligence are a cycle. That didn't make sense if you didn't hear my podcast, you know what I mean? But it's just like, what else can I say? It's just, I did that. I connected it, and it was cool. I don't know. I feel like it's a process, you know? I don't even know. I don't know my connections until, okay, that's a stupid statement that I'm about to say, but, like, you don't know the connections until you make them. Like, truly, because, you know, some people can come to other conclusions and tell you, but you're just like, okay, right. But then you have to experience it, and you're just like, oh, you know, and then you can make connections for yourself. And then I think this is why I feel like I'm so emotionally intelligent, because I make so many connections and I'm like, boom, I did that. You did not come up with that. I'm smart, you know, and I'm just like, I know that for myself. And ultimately, your emotional intelligence is the most beneficial to yourself. You know, that's the basis of everything. You have to be healthy. You have to be aware. You have to be ready in order to interact with the world and the society. And it's a learning adventure, genuinely. Like, you can't, it's a lot, but it's just like, I'm gonna just go out there and be curious. That is such an important thing for me. God, it applies to everything. Like, just being curious. It applies to my career. It applies to my mental health. It applies to the way I dress and the way I interact with people. Just being curious. I mean, like, sometimes that's hard because I'm an introvert. But thinking and wondering and, you know, questioning yourself is great. It's all self-discovery, and this is so coming of age, by the way, but, like, it is. And life. And it's okay if you have a, you go through some sort of high and you're just like, wow. And then you come back to the silence and you're like, damn, everything's the same. Because, you know, I just thought about that. I'm going to walk out of this recording studio, go back home, and I'm going to be like, well, here I am. But it's okay because literally from this, I've already learned. I've already grown. So it's cool. Going through the motions and, you know, it's a process and it's a, you know, it's, I don't know. Life is crazy. I always like feel like I have such meta thoughts. I'm just like, what is going on? But it's true, you know? Life is about learning. That's so basic to say. I'm sorry, but it's true. Like, oh my god, sometimes I wish I can make my own calendar, and then it's so funny because it would just have the most basic life quotes on it that even I roll my eyes at sometimes, but it's like, damn, they got me. I think about that all the time, and I came to that conclusion again by myself. So it's like, again, with the connections, like, it doesn't mean anything to you until you come to it yourself. Ugh, that's so good. Anyways, after all that mental spillage, I'm gonna wrap up this episode. It's kind of long, but I hope it's brought some enlightenment into the universe, into your ears. And yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to my close friends and my parents and my family who listen to me, because thanks. It's so funny because you know me already, but you know, I appreciate it. Anyways, I hope until the next time, everybody has had a chance to grow and reflect and have some fun with it and do something cool and, you know, just not take life too seriously, because it's about growing and you don't know what's going to happen, but in the best way possible. So yeah, don't forget to take it easy on yourself, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Bye.